This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R. And for more than 30 years, we have been sending out the glorious gospel of the grace of God by means of the radio. We started with our own radio, which we owned here at the on our church building. We had it, antenna on top, and our broadcasting station upstairs. Our call letters then were WPCC, and our slogan were, we preach Christ crucified, we praise Christ continually, and we proclaim Christ's coming. And we still do that, though we have used many different radios in sending out the gospel of the grace of God. The greatest need of humanity today is not religion, not even the Christian religion, but a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not in a religious setting, but in the glorious gospel of the grace of God. I wonder if you know very many Christians who are obeying Ephesians 3:9 to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery which from the beginning of the world was hid in God. And that is called in Ephesians 3:1-3, the dispensation of the grace of God, which was committed to the apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. He became a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, and he was in jail for telling a secret. And that secret was God's eternal purpose, which was hid in God until finally the risen, glorified Christ made it known to the apostle Paul and through him to others. Even the gospel, as Paul said in Galatians 1:11 and 12, I did not receive from men, I received it by revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I please men, I am not the servant of the Lord. So we have for our study at this time the second chapter of Titus. I think four of the most wonderful verses in all the Bible because of the truth that is taught in Titus 2:11-14. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. My dear friends, if you want a real Bible definition of Christianity in four short verses, you can get it in Titus 2:11-14. And when it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, by way of contrast, we ought to remember the commission of the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth, when he said in Matthew 15:24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in that 15th chapter, when that poor, unfortunate Gentile woman came to him and asked for a blessing, he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Well, there was a great difference between the Israel and the Gentiles while Christ was on earth, because he had not yet broken down the middle wall of partition between them. But something happened between the 15th of Matthew and the 10th of Romans, for in the 10th of Romans, we read there is no difference between Israel and the Gentile. No difference, no difference. For the same God is rich toward all who call upon his name. And then, When the Lord sent those 12 apostles, he said in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Go to Israel and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and cast out demons." Now that message was limited, and that program limited to Israel and excluded the Gentiles. And the grace of God had not yet appeared to all men. We read in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God will have all men to be saved. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. When did the Gentiles' due time come? Well, we read in Acts 14:27, some 12 or 13 years after Christ died, that God opened up the door of faith unto the Gentiles. After the Apostle Paul said to Israel, "Seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." And then gradually there was the unfolding of the marvelous message and program and dispensation of grace. There's a great difference between grace in a former dispensation and the dispensation of grace in this age of grace in which we now live. So then he said, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." What a difference between that and "go not in the way of the Gentiles and go to Israel preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I want you to know, as you must know, my dear friends, the kingdom of heaven is not at hand now. After Israel rejected the king and the kingdom, before and after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God ushered in the dispensation of the grace of God and began a new economy. As we are told in Romans 11:11, when Israel was set aside, God sent salvation to the Gentiles or the heathen to provoke Israel to jealousy. Notice this message we given in poem. "The Christ who died to save me sits on heaven's throne. He's my Lord and my Redeemer, and I am not my own. I'm so glad the one Christ promised within me now abides. For I can please my Savior when the Holy Spirit guides. Sing, sing, let us sing of Christ, the Lord of glory. In our singing let us tell the blessed gospel story. God the Father loved the world, his eternal Son was given, that by grace through faith in him we might go to heaven. Let's be out and out for Jesus, as his gospel we proclaim. As daily we meet others, let us boldly speak his name. Our Savior died for sinners. He's their only hope, we claim. If we do not speak to warn them, we'll surely be to blame. By grace through faith in Jesus, God's righteousness is mine. I received with Christ my Savior a nature that's divine. For I am in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus lives in me. When my Savior appears in glory, then in glory I shall be. Yes, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And remember that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It doesn't take any more of the grace of God to save a murderer and a thief, an adulterer or a drunkard, than it does a lovely, sweet, self-righteous church member. Moral, upright. My dear friends, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all need salvation and a Savior. Thank God that's been provided by his love and his grace, and the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And God says that we're not under the law, we're under grace. Romans 6:14. For by grace were you saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, is a gift of God. That's the reason we specialize in the gospel of the grace of God. When you're saved by the grace of God, you're saved for time and eternity. That's the difference between being righteous and spiritual and being religious. So many people who are religious do not know whether or not they are saved by the grace of God. Now, after you're saved by the grace of God, remember 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, might abound toward every good work. And the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the reason the question is asked in the 6th of Romans, where it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Perish the thought, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? With respect to sin, every person is dead. The unsaved is dead in sin. The believer is dead in sin, dead to sin. Yes, we were dead in sin, but we've been made alive, and now we're dead to sin. We're crucified with Christ. We're baptized into his death. We're buried with him. We're raised. We're risen. We're seated with him in the heavenlies. And God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven all our sins, and we stand in the presence of the God completely justified, with his righteousness imputed to us as believers. And we stand in his presence as though we'd never sinned in word, thought, or deed. What a glorious gospel of grace we have, and what a crime it is to frustrate the grace of God and to in any way pervert the gospel of the grace of God. And remember this, my dear friend, you can pervert the grace of God or frustrate the grace of God and pervert that grace gospel by mixing Peter's Pentecost message in with Paul's grace message just as much as you can by bringing the law, program, and religion of the Old Testament over into this age and dispensation of grace. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work.